Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you're having a good week. I've had a, well, full on, I think you call it. I've got a daughter who's started GCSEs. Oh, God, the stress is immense. But anyways, apart from that, everything is good. I'm just so excited about my guest this week. Honestly, I really, really am. I've known Kyle Gray a long time as a Hay House author. And, you know, Kyle is someone who would have been around on so many of those occasions in the past when I was at Hay House events or speaking at gigs or going to parties and doing that thing that I did, you know, kind of rocking up, appearing as though I was, on top of stuff, and actually inside knowing that I felt like an imposter. I felt like, I just didn't feel authentic. How could I when I was allegedly, holistic and spiritual and meanwhile, drinking way too much. So anyways, I just was so beyond excited when I found that that Kyle is now even more high vibe, having ditched the booze. So I thought, gotta get Kyle on the podcast. As you probably know, in the Sober Club, we do an awful lot around well-being, spirituality, holistic living. And of course, not everything is for everybody. I invite angel experts. So we've got Beverly Densham coming on the podcast at some point as well soon. I've had someone speaking on numerology and all types of conversations around meditation and all kinds of stuff. And then that's mixed in with the very practical stuff about how we handle cravings with people like William Porter and nutrition with people like Dale Pinnock and just all of this stuff, because I find it really, really difficult to focus on just one thing. I think it's really important to recognise that when you're ditching the booze, you've got to lay those foundations. You've got to really look at all the different pieces that are going to impact on your well-being, on your optimum health and well-being. And ultimately, that's the goal, isn't it, really? It's so much more than just not drinking. Of course, we have to start with not drinking, but then it's everything else. It's how do we focus on living our best lives? And, you know, one thing I talk about a lot is this idea of how we can remain positive, how we can be optimistic, how we can raise our vibration. And it's just perfect because that is the title of Kyle's book. And I'm so thrilled that this book has been revised and updated. High Vibe Tools to Support Your Spiritual Awakening. So without further ado, let me bring you this lovely conversation with the absolutely gorgeous Kyle Gray. Absolutely thrilled that my guest is best-selling author Kyle Gray. I've known Kyle for years, but this is just so exciting to be able to finally chat to Kyle, one of the UK's most sought-after spiritual teachers, who dedicates his life to helping people connect with spirituality through workshops, talks, and online courses. And we're going to be talking about living a high vibe life. And so excited, Kyle, to get a chance to chat to you and to hear about the book, Raise Your Vibration. Just, well, hello anyway. Let's start with that.
Hello. Thank you so much. So honored to be here.
I mean, we've met many years ago at Hay House talks and various bits and pieces. But for anyone who's not aware of your work, do you mind just taking us right back to how it all started for you? Because, you know, I think quite uniquely, you had a spiritual awakening at a really young age. Most of us, it takes us a while.
Yeah. I had a spiritual awakening and then I had to have a human life and mistakes anyway. So, my work is predominantly centered around angels, and I also speak about, you know, living a high vibe life, but my work has predominantly been about angels. And when I was a little boy, when I was around 3, I had a virus called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and that's a virus that attacks the nervous system, and I was paralyzed for a number of months. And it was around that time of being kind of limited to a wheelchair and in one space that I developed this sensitivity that was able to kind of far outreach the room. And after about a year of going through, you know, the whole rigmarole of having a virus that they initially thought was meningitis, I made a recovery naturally. And it was around the same time of me kind of being recovered and getting ready to start school at around 4.5. I had this experience of our grandmother, or my nana, was living in our family home with us, who was also in a wheelchair. And she was moved from the house to hospital. And then one night, the week school was starting, I remember waking up through the night and my grandmother was sitting on the bottom of my bed and she looked glorious. And I thought she had come home from hospital and she was coming into the room to tuck me in. And so I went into, you know, my mum's room the next morning and told her what had happened, and she couldn't really give me any feedback. But it was revealed to me later on that day that she'd actually gone to heaven. Like, that was what I was told.
Wow.
So from, you know, 4.5, I've had this lifelong question of what happens to us when we die. And if my grandmother had died, why did I see her? So that had stayed with me from then. And, you know, growing up my whole life, loads of weird and wonderful things would happen. I would like speak to people, but no one else could see the person in the room. Or my mom was a mobile hairdresser when I was growing up, and I'd go with her to, you know, when she was doing hair, and I'd be sitting in the corner petting someone's dog, but no one else could see the dog. And I'd be like naming the dog that died 10 years earlier. I'm like, no, I'm just playing with Benji. And wow. No one else could see it. So that kind of thing happened to me. And it was more in my teenage years that I kind of started to put everything together and realize that this is actually psychic experiences that were happening. And it was all through watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, actually.
But as you say, I mean, you know, that's not the most ideal sort of situation for a teenager in Glasgow or wherever you were.
Yeah,
so exactly. I'm guessing you had to rebel against it for a bit.
Yeah, it was unideal, if that's a word. But then when I got to my teenage years, I found the work of Louise Hay, first of all, and then there was books about angels by other authors who later became colleagues and friends. And I kind of went down that rabbit hole of realizing that what I was actually seeing was spiritual energies, and that everyone could do it, but also that I was able to control it.
Yeah.
And that was the main thing, that the one thing I actually wanted when I got interested in all this was not how to switch it on and develop it, was how the fuck can I turn this off?
Because it was in your face the whole time.
Yeah. Wow. And you know, the funniest thing, and we'll find this really curious when we speak about, you know, substances and all that kind of stuff. When I was younger, my parents thought that I, you know, had some sort of hyperactive mind. And then because I had Guillain-Barré syndrome and it attacks the nervous system, they wondered if there was problems with the brain or spinal fluid or whatever. And so there was all these different tests done to me. And then they're like, maybe he's got ADHD. We should take him off sugar, anything that has caffeine in it, anything that has E numbers, you know. So my parents took me off all these kind of substances, and I actually got clearer. I was like more psychic, more switched on, more weird things happened to me.
Yeah.
And so they put me back on it.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So.
Oh my goodness. And then, so, I mean, we know that you had a sort of fairly meteoric rise to fame, didn't you? With, you know, with your, even, was even your first book was like a bit of a bestseller.
Yeah, so what happened was when I got into my teenage years, I started to learn how to develop kind of psychic ability and went through the whole spiritualist movement. And then when I was 20, I did a reading for a woman. This is what happened, basically. I did a reading for a woman, and when she came for this reading, she, you know, was just curious. And as soon as she walked in the door, I just heard this angel speaking to me, and it was saying, we're here to reunite the sisters. And I was like, okay. So I'm telling her what's happening. She's like, yeah, I've got a sister. And I was like, no, you've got two sisters. And she's like, no, I have one sister. And I was like, no, you've got two. Like, why am I being told you've got two? Anyway, it turns out I started writing all this random stuff down. I wrote Coney Island, New York, this woman's full name and all these details that were just like coming to me so clearly. And I wrote it all down and the woman was like, this guy is off his rocker. You know, this wasn't a reading. This was just random facts. But anyway, she was curious about it and she did a bit of, you know, due diligence. And it turned out her mother did have another daughter. Wow. And they found out that it was sold on the black market. And the name that I actually wrote down at the top of the paper was the name of the person that had bought the child. Wow. And they were discovered in Coney Island, New York. And it was just like so bang on. So the newspapers got wind of this, like, you know, highly accurate reading. And I ended up getting a column in The Sun because of that. And they called me the Angel Whisperer, which then led to my first book deal and like going on all these TV shows. Mm-hmm. And so I went from like, you know, this random teenage boy with far too many tattoos to, you know, best-selling author in a very short space of time. And yeah, it kind of propelled me into the public eye. And that was 11 years ago.
Wow. Amazing. And I mean, you know, you've just had the most incredible success. But I think what's great is that, you know, in amongst all of this, you're very real about it all. That's what I love. You know, I love it when we've met, when I've heard you talk, you're very real, because we all know of, you know, you don't need to name any names, but we all know of sort of spiritual experts and the kind of stuff we sometimes see on the telly. And honestly, there is a thread of sort of charlatanship going through it, you know, sometimes, isn't there? Let's be really honest.
You know? Yeah, I think that's been my biggest challenge with it all is, you know, I don't think being spiritually connected is special. I think everyone can do it. But I think it's been marketable to make it look like only certain people can have it and it's a special gift. Whereas I've never wanted to be glorified. I've always wanted to use my life as a demonstration to others what is possible. But I also think being brought up in, you know, a working class household and, you know, rugged black
keeps
Glasgow,
your feet on the ground.
It really was.
I know your mum's your manager, so I bet she kicks your butt if you step out of line, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, like, completely kicking my butt today and then called me just before this, like, good luck for the interview. Don't forget this.
Brilliant. So look, we're going to dig into a few of the ideas from Raise Your Vibration, High Vibe Tools to Support Your Spiritual Awakening. Lovely, just a fabulous title. And I'd love, you know, to get some really sort of practical tips actually as to how all of us can try and raise our vibration, because God knows we need to, you know. Right. So much going on and so much anxiety and so many mental health issues and all the rest of it. And I think that, you know, if we can just grasp hold of some of this stuff and recognize that, you know, we can shift our vibration, I just think it would be so magical. But before we even get into that, let's talk about the booze, because you were saying that you'd come across my TED talk. So I'm really glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was just amazing just to think. You know, I do a daily TED talk, like that's one of my things, or a podcast, like one of the two. And just randomly, it was like random TED talk selector. It's on TED's website and it just gives you a random talk. So I had just clicked it and then started to make, I think it was eggs or something. And then I just heard your voice in the background and I was like, wait a minute, I know who that is. And so I hadn't even known that you'd done a TED talk. And I just stopped what I was doing and sat down and watched the whole thing. And I'd already been, you know, sober curious for a number of months. And so what you were sharing and what you were saying was really resonating with me, you know.
I mean, it is so fascinating, isn't it? Because lots of people who listen to this podcast will have heard me say a lot of times that I genuinely think that when you're drinking alcohol, it actually lowers your vibration.
Right.
Right. I really believe that. You agree?
Yeah, no doubt at all.
Yeah. And for years, because I was drinking, I now look back and I now realize just how hard why it was so difficult for me to meditate, why it was so difficult for me to focus on self-love. I was, you know, like you, Hay House author, and I'm there at all those events and I'm giving talks and I'm interviewing everybody. I interviewed you for Hay House Radio. I've interviewed everybody for Hay House Radio. So there was nothing that I didn't know about this,
right.
But it wasn't real for me. And I now look back and I realize why. because I couldn't be authentic because there was that bloody great elephant in the room that was alcohol.
Right.
You know, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's weird because I've never been a big drinker personally. I've always, even if you might not notice, but like at Hay House things, I never drank.
No.
Like, so that was always something that stood out. And then in the latter part, I'd always have one yeah. drink.
Yeah.
And I think it was just, there's a culture of gathering and people drink alcohol. But I made this conscious decision that I was going to amp up my meditation time in the first lockdown. And I've been meditating for 18 years, but this, I was really going to go hard on it. And anytime I've done it, I like to meditate at bedtime. And so I don't like to drink before I meditate. So I stopped drinking just because I was going to go home and meditate. And that was like the initial reason. And then sometimes I'd move my meditation so I could go out and have a drink. But I started getting an instant sore head just from like a sip of alcohol.
Right. So you really noticed.
I was like, when I upped my meditation time, I noticed instantly when there was a drop of alcohol in my body.
Right.
Even last week I was out for dinner and I got a tiramisu, but there was too much alcohol in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, can't do this. So when I made space to actually recognize.
Yeah, exactly.
When I was putting the alcohol in, I realized, this isn't really working for me. And I've always been interested in wine and I love beer and I've got even Shares and Brewdog and, you know, so like, but I've always been like three drinks max. Like that's always been my thing. And it's because there is alcoholism in the periphery of my family. And so I thought I've always been really modest approaching it. But as soon as Christmas was the last time I had a glass of wine. I was like, I don't think I'm going to drink again. I'm just going to like try this sober January thing.
Yeah.
Where are we? We're in May. So I've done all right, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I know obviously for someone like you, as you say, you've obviously been meditating for years and all of that stuff. But do you notice that it's that you can raise your vibration, you know, to quote your book title?
I think that your body is a vehicle and how we see the body and how we treat the body has everything to do with the vibration that we're going to project. The vibration that we create is attractive in nature and, you know, it's in alignment with everything that we experience in our lives. So just like a little shift in not having alcohol in my vibration has been pretty potent for me. There's been more clarity.
Yeah.
And even if I did have just like two beers, the next day I'd wake up feeling really tired and really, and I was like, this just isn't worth it for me. This has like a domino effect on my productivity, my clarity, my awareness. And you have to also move things around for alcohol. And I didn't like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to make time because it takes so much of your bloody time. I mean, that's one of the amazing benefits when you stop drinking. For people who are drinking a lot, you free up so much time and so much clarity, you know. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's that. I mean, that's just, it's fantastic. It's great to hear. I love it because it's so exciting.
Say? You know what else I was going to say about in the conversation of vibration and being sober is I've noticed how infectious it is to not drink and how other people are like, I think I'll match you on that.
Yeah.
So I was going out for dinner with a friend last week and we met at the pub across the street and I was like, can I have a 0% Peroni, please? And my friend was like, I'll have I'll have the 0%.
Great.
I was out with Yasmin Boland in London the other night and I was like, I'll have the non-alcoholic this, please. And she's like, I'm going to do that too. That sounds
brilliant.
Amazing.
Great.
Do
well, that's,
start, I mean, doing it.
Of course, you know, a lot of people listening to this will be dealing with sober shamers, but, you know, as you say, if you just, that's exactly how it's done. You head straight to the bar and you just straight away ask for what it is you want rather than, you know, or do you want to drink? Oh, well, actually, I'm not really drinking. So, I'm not really sure. You know, if you just steam straight in with, I love the alcohol free, whatever, then there's something really authentic about that. And of course, the choices are amazing. Brewdog have got a great alcohol free beer, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got Punk AF and there's a few. Yeah. And it was my birthday in February and I'm friends, I think you probably know Camille Vidal.
Camille does amazing cocktails. Yeah.
She sent me this hamper of all these alcohol-free drink options and she was amazing. At my birthday. and she did like alcohol-free Cure Royales, and it was just like everyone was so into it because they're like, this is so cool.
I know, it's brilliant.
I'm going to wake up feeling amazing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. There are literally no downsides. There really aren't. I'm very jealous of you that you did it so young. It's really cool. Let's just talk about some of these elements of the book then, because there will be people listening who, you know, don't really know what we mean at all when we say raise your vibration. So, you know, what does it mean, and how can all of us, you know, go some way to raising our vibes?
Yeah, so like we know the word vibe for a start, and we all use that word in our day-to-day life, even if we're not spiritually centered. For example, see you walk into the office one day and you walk in and you just know instinctively that someone's having a bad day.
Yeah.
It's like a thickness in the air, you know, and you might find out later on down the line that your boss is having a moment or someone's having this or that. We just know when we walk into spaces if there's a good energy or a bad energy.
Yeah.
If you walk into a party and everyone's having a laugh, or you walk into see your child when you go home and they're smiling and excited, or your dogs when you walk in, there's a positive energy there. But the biggest thing to say about both of those is we've all been both of those people. We've all been the person who is giving off the lower end of the spectrum. We've all been the person giving off the higher end of the spectrum. The best way to understand it is that we are these walking transmitters and receivers of energy. And energy is expressed through a conversation, our actions, our choices, our non-actions, and also in our presence. Like, are we present in the room or are we checked out? So all of that is a vibe. And the truth is that most of us in human beings, we are all kind of hardwired to be at the higher end of the spectrum. And we don't necessarily realize that, but the truth is we see it in mental health conversations and when people are facing depression or low moments in their life as they want out of it.
Yeah, yeah, we absolutely seek that pleasure, don't we?
We seek to get out of that. And so that's what raising your vibration is. It's about making the conscious choice to kind of get out the heavy moments into a place that's high. Mm. But it's really important to say it's not to avoid feeling low.
Yeah.
And it's not to like discredit anyone's experience of feeling low, depressed or anxious or overwhelmed. It's more you can still be high vibe and have depression. You can still be high vibe and have moments of low. And it's more the tools to kind of live with that. Mm-hmm. It can help you be high vibe, if that makes sense.
So how what's your take then on this, the kind of concept that, you know, really we have to sort of embrace all our emotions, and we're not very good at that, right? Are we? You know, we don't like it if we feel angry or jealous, or, you know, we just want to, which is why so many people reach for a drink, of course. But once we do start to sort of recognize, okay, I'm going to sit with this feeling for a while. I'm going to accept that actually I'm sad or I'm angry or whatever. How can we, from that place, if there is something not so fabulous going on, how can we raise our vibration in that moment?
Yeah, so I always take a kind of body, mind, soul approach to raising your vibration. And you can raise your vibration in a number of different ways. So for me, like, raising your vibration doesn't always have to be about, you know, saying affirmations in front of the mirror or doing yoga. Raising your vibration could be like the choice of, today I'm going to be alcohol free, you know, like that's raising your vibration. Or
definitely,
I'm going to choose to eat the thing that makes me feel vibrant today rather than eating the thing that's going to make me want to go and sleep on the couch. So that's a conscious choice to raise your vibration. Raising your vibration in a mind level can be about saying, you know what, I should just call up that colleague and say, I'm sorry for being a hard knock today at work. You know, that could be simple as that. Or it can be, I'm going to choose to forgive myself for making that bad decision today because I can improve tomorrow. So that's a mental approach to raising your vibration. And then a soul approach, it could be about calling on a higher power.
Yeah.
You know, just inviting in a presence that's greater than you. And that could just be the most intelligent form of yourself.
Yeah.
So that could be that. And it can also be about finding something to be grateful for.
Yeah, gratitude is everything, isn't it?
Well, it's the highest vibration, actually, I've noticed. As soon as you go into gratitude, everything else comes into alignment.
Yeah.
So that's what I say. But to raise your vibration, there's a few things that I do daily that just gets me and keeps me high. So mm-hmm. the first one is just moving my body in some way. Mm-hmm. And that can be like putting on Florence and the Machine, full blast.
Yeah. Shake it out. Yeah. yeah.
Like shaking yeah. it all
yeah,
out.
Yeah, literally.
You know, so that's a wonderful way. It could be going a run. It could be doing yoga. It doesn't have to be, you know, intense physically. It can just be like, you know, having a nod or mm-hmm. doing mm-hmm. something. So moving my body in some shape or form, movement is the one way. The other one is tuning in. And that's yeah, just yeah. being like, I am part of something greater, mm-hmm. you know, realizing that there's a bigger picture at play here. Mm-hmm. And for me, tuning in is about realizing that my one small life can make a big difference.
Yeah.
So I do that every day. What else do we do? Movement, mantra can kind of come together, tuning in. Gosh, I'm trying to think what I do.
Yeah, you're so used to it.
yeah. Oh, yeah. And meditation, of course. That's the other thing. Raising your vibration for me is meditation. Like that is the practice. And the biggest thing about most people is they say, I can't meditate. Mm. You know, like that's the one reason that most people don't meditate is because they don't believe they can. But for me, meditation can actually just be sitting and just thinking about your shopping list. Mm-hmm. It can be thinking about the thing that's bothering you, but just giving yourself 5 minutes yeah. permission just to yeah. be.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love that. It's a completely realistic approach. And I was that person who for years and years and years just said, I can't meditate. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes, you know, levitating, does it?
No. I mean, I do that now.
But... yeah, obviously.
No. You know, for me, when I started to, my meditation practice is about 40 minutes at the moment. And, mm-hmm. But I do moving meditation. So I mm-hmm. do Kundalini and I say a mantra consistently for the amount of time that I'm doing it. And it's really, really powerful. Mm-hmm. And the clarity I have, the skin clears up, is weird. And then all of the other choices start to have a knock-on effect. For example, yeah. me choosing to go alcohol free
is
kind of a knock-on effect of the meditation practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I wouldn't have believed I could sit as still when I started. And my meditation practice has been 18 years, but it's never been as strong as it has been in the last two. And it's just because I've made it a thing. I've realized that this has a knock-on effect on everything else that I do.
Mm. But as you say, for someone starting out, for whom all of this is yeah. quite new, literally you can set a timer for 5 minutes.
Yeah, or even 3 minutes.
Or even three, exactly. And don't get upset if your thoughts wander, because that's fine. It's yeah. what happens.
So yeah. I always say it's mindfulness. So what I mean, what we hear there is mind is full, not empty.
Yeah, yeah.
But people always think, you know, mind needs to be empty in order to achieve meditation, when in fact meditation is actually just being one with your mind and all the madness that comes with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Fabulous. Let's see. We've got so many things I'd love to ask you, but I know that you talk about how you can give your aura a makeover. Give us a quick idea of that.
Yeah. So shaking it out is a really good thing, but your aura is the projection of your energy.
Yeah.
And I always try and take this from a non-believer's mind, you know, like a skeptical person, but vibes and aura are two words that we use day to day. And initially they were only for psychic people, but now it's day to day language. We'll go, oh, I like that person's aura.
Yeah.
Right. And so we'll say that, but and someone with a clean aura is just someone that gives off a good energy when they walk in the room.
Yeah.
And we can clean our aura just by one, moving, doing a movement of some description, shaking it out, just taking a moment there, finding something to be grateful for. So that whether that be someone you love, a blessing of your day, it could even just be your health.
Mm-hmm.
That's going into your energy.
Yeah.
And then an act of service.
Yeah.
Doing something in the service of others with not with no seek of reward. These are all things that project into the energy around you, and yeah, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's super infectious, and I'm really good friends with David Hamilton, as you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All the science behind it, he's like, when you do these things...
Yeah, exactly, yeah, that kindness is good for you.
Yeah, it's a rearrangement of your, like, your genetics and everything that's happening inside. But I've noticed that when I just instantly do these little things in my day-to-day life, it becomes like something back. So, you know, like the other day I saw someone in the train station at the airport. I'm like, can I help you with that? And they're like, yes. And then next minute I go for coffee and they're like, you're my random act of kindness.
It comes back, it starts becoming this knock-on effect.
And I'm not consciously looking for that, but it starts coming back because the aura is magnetic.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely. Like, you attract more of what you give off, as it were. Yeah. Definitely. I love that. I know one thing that slightly shifting topics for a second, but I, lots of people who listen to the podcast and definitely Sober Club members will know that I quote you a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do a lot, because one of the things that I remember so profoundly was interviewing you for Hay House Radio a lot of years ago. Yeah. And we were talking about purpose and how... you know, people often sort of want to find their purpose. What is it that they're here to do? And it, within the Sober Club, you know, we've got lots of people who now they've stopped drinking. Suddenly there's time, or there's space, or there's something completely new seems to want to come up, right? Mm. And a lot of people find creativity, or go off and do a degree, or start a business, or buy a camper van with the money they've saved, or whatever it is. Yeah. All of this fabulous stuff. But then sometimes there'll be people who say, I don't know. I don't think I'm very creative. I don't know. And I remember asking you a similar question years ago, and your answer was, I don't know if you can even remember it, but your answer was, you know, sometimes your purpose might just be to be happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I always say.
I love that. I mean, I don't know if you realize how absolutely profound that is.
Yeah, it's you know, because we put a lot of pressure on the word purpose, you know, and a lot of people just think that their purpose is their job title, or exactly, their achievements, or the things that they make happen, or how they affect the lives of others. But sometimes happiness is all the purpose you need, because happiness again is another infectious thing.
And exactly. So if you're happy, you're going to impact on others.
It's a knock-on effect. And especially if you have family or children, like, you know, like if your child grows up with a happy parent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Your work's done.
Yeah. You know, the work is done. So yeah, for me, I also have come to a point and realized that it's not just about finding your specific purpose, but finding opportunities to be purposeful.
Yeah.
And so happiness is one of them. And I also believe that all things done with love is purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like if you do something that you can do for someone without seeking a reward, you're on purpose, and you're making a difference. And so one thing that's really helped me with that is the archangel mother of mine. She said to me, Kyle, if you can make the difference in one person's life while you're here, then you have done more than many. And that's always stuck with me my whole life. Mm. You know, if we can just make the difference in one person's life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's what purpose is.
Yeah. Do you believe we all have a guardian angel?
I believe everyone has an angel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your angel can show up in your conscience as well. It can just be that voice that says, don't do it. You know, it can be that voice that says, step away from this relationship, or, you know, don't trust this person. You know, I think our angel doesn't have to be a winged, feathery being. It's just an intelligence that shows up, that guides us in our life.
Yeah.
I believe everyone's got one. And I believe that they are as loud as our willingness to listen. And the truth of the matter is, most of us are not willing to listen.
And I know you've spoken a lot about asking angels for what you want.
Specifically thanking them. Is the magic formula to this is that most people ask when the shit hits the fan.
In a crisis, yeah.
You know, a falling to your knees moment, and that works. You can say, you know, help me with this, and you might have an experience that gets you through it.
Yeah,
but I've found that prayer is most powerful when you are grateful for all the great things that you have, and in the moments that things do go wrong, I always find that your prayer's louder because you've spent the majority of your time in thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always say, like, the most random things. The flight was taken off early the other day. I was like, thank you, angels. And I say it out loud. People look at me. I don't even care. When the guy was like, we have an alcohol-free cocktail list. And I was like,
wow.
I was like, thank you, angels.
This That's is progress.
When I paid for the dinner, I was like, thank you, angels. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not just because when I say thank you, angels, a lot of people think I'm in praise of angels. It's not that. The reason I always say thank you, angels, is angels love to hear us say thank you. Mm. Not because they're getting glorification, but because the thanks that we're feeling is what's going to create the miracles in our life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The gratitude.
That's amazing. The feeling. It's the feeling that we want to create. So we can say anything we want, but it's the feeling behind them. And if the feeling's of authenticity, then we could do it. I'll tell you something else about angels. And in this conversation, I think it'll be interesting. I was actually doing a talk in London a couple of weeks ago, and there's a woman in the audience who was a therapist, and she'd always been open-minded to the idea of, you know, angels, spiritual experiences and all that. And she was actually an addiction therapist, and she had a man, and he had like been in front of her, and he was on his knees, kind of reached his final point. And she said that she didn't really know what she could do, but in her head, she's like, I really need to help this guy. And in that moment, she said an angel appeared in front of her, and she'd never willed it. She'd never looked for anything like that. And she couldn't understand what, but the angel told her what she needed to say. And this guy like managed to shift around his life based on the things that she said to her. And she said, how did that happen? Because I've always heard that angels can't help you in your life unless you ask them. And I found out that that's not actually the bigger picture. It can also be if your vibration's in a specific way. So angels can help you if you are doing something from pure truth, if you're doing something from pure devotion, if you're doing something from love, or you're doing something from service. And if you're in any of those places, truth, devotion, love, or service, angels are coming towards you and they help you. And because she was so fixated on serving this guy and helping him, an angel appeared and gave her the answer.
Wow. How wonderful. Love it. So, Kyle, you've obviously got masses of amazing oracle cards and decks and things, and loads and loads of books. So just remind us where we can find all your stuff and tell us a little bit about the new edition of the book.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Facebook and all that, just Kyle Gray, Gray with an A. And I've got lots of different products out, but I'll tell you, purpose has been a big conversation my whole entire life. And I realized that my career and my job is not my purpose. However, I feel very purposeful in doing what I do. And I realized in the last couple of years that my work's not about telling people the answers or telling people about their angels, but more getting people on the path for themselves and then letting them discover the magnificence of their own power. And in 2016, I wrote this book called Raise Your Vibration, and it sold over 100,000 copies and it did really well. But upon reflection, because I wrote it when I was like 26, that there was some stuff I thought wasn't 100% right and had matured a lot. So I asked Hay House if I could redo it and revisit the book. And that's what this is. It's the new one. And it's 77 different practices that you can do in any order whatsoever. And each one's to bring you back to raising your vibration. And for me, that's just about making the conscious choice to be the light in every room you enter. Like that's basically it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Kyle, thank you so much. You've been such an amazing guest.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
So thank you, Kyle. We're definitely going to try and help you get that book to to the bestsellers list. I'll put the link to the book in the show notes. Make sure you pre-order it. And thank you, Kyle, for doing an exclusive Q&A for Sober Club members. That was just absolutely amazing as well. So thank you so much. So you know where to find more of this stuff if you're interested. We have a huge member portal in the Sober Club, so do come and check it out if you you want support and accountability and connection and knowledge and non-judgmental, well, yeah, support, cheerleading. It's all there for you. So check it out, thesoberclub.com. Just a reminder of some events coming up. We've got a Sober by the Sea coming up on Saturday, June the 11th. That's in sunny Southend. And then we have Champneys, Self-Care and Sobriety at Champneys in Treng in Hertfordshire, Sunday and Monday. That's 26th, 27th of June. And then Family Constellations. It's a massive topic, too difficult to explain in a sentence, but check it out if it's something that interests you. So many people, once they ditch the booze, realise that, okay, there's stuff to look at here. And Family Constellations is the most wonderful way of sorting out some of those entanglements in a really, really positive way. Helps you become so much more compassionate and kind. So we're hosting a Family Constellations workshop, myself and Rafe Nauen, who is a leading trauma therapist, on Sunday, July the 17th. That's going to be in Hertfordshire. So just drop me a message if you're interested. Just want to say thank you, by the way, to a bunch of people who have messaged me this week. I sometimes say, you know, if you're doing this and you haven't told anyone, you can tell me. You can reach out and tell me. And a few people have done exactly that this week. So I won't name you, but thank you for dropping me that message and telling me how you're getting on. And also someone who discovered me through my TED Talk. Carl was mentioning that he heard the TED Talk, Sobriety Rocks, Who Knew? If you haven't watched it, go to YouTube, just type Genuinely Grace TEDx Talk into YouTube and it should pop up. Yeah, somebody else who had discovered me literally through the TED Talk, and it had kind of inspired him to ditch the booze. So I love hearing from you. It's brilliant. And thank you for the kind words about the podcast. It's much appreciated. So don't struggle on your own. It may not be your thing to join a community. It may not be your thing to rock up to a meeting. It may not be your thing to tell your family and friends. Possibly not a good idea anyway. But definitely tell someone. Definitely get some kind of support, because it's hard to do this completely alone. It really is. I was having a conversation with some of the people in our accountability group when we're in the middle of a 12-week accountability program. And it's really interesting because there are some people in the group who are having that pink cloud, you know, that amazing feeling of euphoria that can come to some people, not everyone, but some people in the early stages of ditching the booze. You get this absolute elation and absolute confidence that you would never want to go anywhere near alcohol ever again. And you feel so kind of solid. And then often you come crashing down. That's the problem with the pink cloud. The bubble, as it were, bursts and you come crashing down, and then you kind of hit the wall and hit a period where you feel completely flat, and you know, basically it's down to brain chemistry being completely out of whack. So I was having this conversation, and you know, we were saying that really the aim is not to be constantly high, because that ain't going to be sustainable, and it's definitely not to be flat either. We need to be balanced, right? We need to be somewhere on a level. And yes, from that place we can absolutely, as Kyle says, raise our vibration, but we need to be in that place of balance first. So you know, it comes, but get connected, get the support that you need, because actually being able to share how you're feeling with people along the way, particularly if they can then say, oh God, I know exactly what you mean. I had exactly that happen to me. It really makes a massive difference. So you know where to find me, at Jamie Lee Grace, hashtag The Sober Club, and just check stuff out on social media. Make sure you go buy Carl's book, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.